Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of Bible Believers Podcast with me, David Macrath, your host, where we enjoy studying the scriptures together on various topics. Our topic this evening is the Barbie movie. We've been doing a series on the question of divorce and remarriage, well, marriage, divorce and remarriage. And it seemed to me, having seen the Barbie movie, and I don't recommend it, but having seen it, that it was worthwhile doing a kind of an analysis of that from the scriptures. There's far too much material for me to be able to do all of the necessary scriptural teaching or the necessary analysis, but I'll try and use the time that we have profitably so that we can be strengthened and know how to answer when we're asked questions. Of course, many of us already know how to answer. We know what the situation is regarding those things. So let's read the Word of God, and we'll read from Proverbs chapter 31, the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, of course, written by King Solomon, chapter 31, verses 10 to the end of the chapter. Let us hear the word of God. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it, with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favour is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, our prayer is that you would speak to us this evening through your word. Help us to be conformed to the word and not to the world. Help us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Father, have mercy on us and forgive us for our sins, for they are many. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And so, Father, we ask that we would shine as bright lights in this dark world, that we would speak up and stand up for the truth. And Father, also we pray for our households, our families, whoever we are, whatever our situation, that our houses would be places where the Lord Jesus Christ is the unseen head and the one who is in charge, who reigns and rules over us all. And so, Father, we ask and pray for your blessing upon us at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And, of course, we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're very happy if there are people who come and join us who aren't Christians, who've never found the Lord Jesus Christ. You're very, very welcome. But we are here also as Christians to find out more and to learn more about God and what he has to say to us in his word. Well, let's consider the Barbie movie, and here I am criticizing it. I can give you a spoiler alert right now. If you listen to what I've got to say, it will spoil the movie, as if it wasn't spoiled already. Now, if I were to criticize BLM, Black Lives Matter, for being Marxist, for example, I might be criticized as being a racist. Some have. And in fact, even in these days, for saying that white lives matter, someone was recently sent to prison for 2 years. So I won't say white lives matter because I don't want to go to prison. But if I say all lives matter, I will also be in trouble. But what I can say as a doctor who's worked many years and who has, as a result of my training and my appointment to the jobs that I've done, is that I have saved many lives. And those have been the lives of people from every kind of background, every race, every color, and without distinction. And so to me, as a clinical practitioner, all lives certainly matter. And so again, if I criticize something for being Marxist, I shouldn't be branded a racist. Again, if I criticize Islam in this country, they want to pass a law which says any criticism of Islam is racism. What if I say Islam can't save somebody? What if I say that no Muslim has ever been saved through Islam? That's not racist, but the law is going to brand me a racist again for that. What strange days we live in. Now, if I want to criticize Barbie as being radical feminism, I will get accused of being pale, male, and still. And worst of all, a Christian. And I'm really tired of being accused of being pale, male, and stale, as in middle class and getting on in years, English white man. I have as much of a voice as anybody else does. And I'm not the enemy. And certainly the gospel of Jesus Christ is not the enemy. So we must call out radical feminism for what it is. It's a departure from the truth. It's a denial of nature. It's a devastating philosophy which condemns multitudes to misery. And they can't understand that misery, it seems, and they don't know why they can't keep relationships with members of the opposite sex and why they can't get exactly what they want out of such relationships. Well, as a pale, male, stale, white Christian, I'm going to give my halfpence worth. No, I'm not. I'm going to do more than that. I'm going to speak from the Word of God. I'm going to speak from the Bible and say what God says in His Word. So let's think about the movie. I think this was important because I'm tired of people saying that men have nothing to say on these issues. We do have something to say. Of course, women have something to say on it as well. We're not saying that they don't, but as men, we do have something to say. We are seeing our own families, our own wives, our own children being radicalized in these days by these foolish and godless philosophies, which promise a lot and give nothing. Let's turn to the Barbie movie. So it is radical feminism. That's been admitted. It's been admitted that this was put into the movie. It begins the first scene. The first scene I was horrified by, little girls playing with baby dolls quite happily. And then suddenly, this is a ripoff of 2001, A Space Odyssey. But these little girls are playing with baby dolls and suddenly a giant statue of Barbie appears and these girls take up their baby dolls and smash their skulls in. This is a horrible scene. One commentator has suggested that this implies that they should destroy their unborn child and that this is being put into their minds, into their hearts at an early age. Now, we need to recognize that this is yet another one of those movies which is based on a children's toy, which is made for adults. It has adult themes. It teaches gender ideology, and there's certainly some horrible, foulest of language in it. And yet it's quite clear that children will see this movie. Now, we might have been critical of Barbie dolls anyway, but I don't know enough about them to be able to criticize the dolls themselves, having never played with them myself. But the point here is this, that this movie is clearly indoctrinating girls and men. It's clearly designed to take a child's toy and use it for the purposes of radical feminism. But that's admitted, that's agreed by those who made the movie, so there's no dispute there. Now, the thing about this is this is a movie which has been plugged, it's been promoted, it's been set forth as being amazing and a must-see movie. There was the Barbenheimer last year, wasn't there, where you had to go and see Barbie and Oppenheimer or you were nowhere. And the amount of hype and the amount of publicity for this has been extraordinary. And listening to what people are saying, I know people who've gone to see this movie and they come away and say, it's amazing, it's a great movie, how wonderful, we really, really enjoyed it. When I saw it, I was really, really very sad about what I saw and what the message is of this movie. I managed to force myself to sit through it. So the first thing is, let's talk about men. Men in the Barbie movie are depicted as universally dumb, worthless, and really, you know, what are they there for? Ken, they're all called Ken apart from one who's called Alan, but Ken's job is beach, we're told, and he never rises above that. And throughout the movie, he never progresses except when he becomes in charge, but that's only for a short time, and then he brings down the level of government to his own beach level. All the men in this movie are, it seems to me, are effeminate and pathetic, that the only men that you can have in the world are effeminate and pathetic. And that wasn't just Ken and cohorts in Barbie Land, but that was also men in the real world. The CEO of the Martell Corporation and his executives, who were all effeminate yes men. How useless men are portrayed in this movie, a radical feminist movie, which will be seen by children. And other men are aggressive and are lustful and abusive. And there's not a good man in the film, except they present Alan, who is, to my mind, somewhat intergender, as somebody who is sympathetic and who supports the women. And he, of course, can do kung fu like Bruce Lee. But there's nothing about real men. There's nothing about masculinity. There's nothing about the man of the Bible, who is a man after God's own heart, who is a manly man, who is a leader, who is a head of his household, who is leading others in the fear of the Lord. Of course, Christian things are totally lacking from this movie, and that's a serious thing. We tend to think, don't expect movies to have Christian things in them. Why? Why should we not expect the Lord of heaven and earth to be present and accurately portrayed through his word in genuine movies? Why do we believe the world's lie, that the world apart from us is without God, and that's fine? Now, by way of contrast, that women in this movie live in a perfect world, Barbie world. Each day is perfect, sunny, a day of parties, a day of pleasure, a day of dancing, a day of professional activities, Dr. Barbie and the Barbie Supreme Court lawyers and President Barbie and so on and so forth. But career here is emphasized again and again, and very powerfully emphasized as the route to the perfect existence for a woman in the world. And of course, this will go further into the real world. Career, career, career. Men aren't necessary. Men are a nuisance. Men are getting in the way, but career is what makes a woman. The secret to the perfection and the happiness in this world is career, a career woman. Women are doctors, justices, presidents, etc. They're intelligent. They're empowered, unlike the men who are beach and effeminate. And this is the perfect world. This is the world of radical feminism. Now, just a note to self. When I worked as a doctor, with many men and women who were working as doctors, most of us had many times when we found it very difficult. We didn't look upon our career as being the sole thing in our lives. For some people it is, that's what they like, but we didn't look upon that as being the sole fit thing or even the main thing in our lives. Family was more important. And of course, for me as a Christian, now that's not to say we did bad jobs. We did everything in each in its place, but the idea that everybody can have a career and that career makes you happy and that career fulfills you and that career is your life is a lie. It's a lie from Satan. It fills the coffers of the bank, the banks. And most people don't get the career they want. Most people don't get a career that is unalloyed happiness and creates the kind of perfect world that you have in Barbie Land. But in Barbie Land, that's true. And this is seen as the perfect existence for a woman. Ken and Barbie then go to the real world, where Ken finds a book entitled The Patriarchy. Boy, the patriarchy. Here we are, this wretched patriarchy. And he brings it back to Barbie world, and while Barbie's away, and he patronizes Barbie world. So what's a patronized Barbie world like? Well, the men spend all their time drinking beer and partying, and the women spend all their time being sexualized and chasing the men. And this is seen as a horrific thing, that the peace of Barbie Land has been shattered by these patronizing men, the patriarchy. Now, this is not the real world, of course, but it's a world that's been fabricated and created by the radical feminists. We live in days when everybody has to have a grievance. We have grievance politics, grievance culture. And so if sinful men and sinful women sin, and we're all guilty and responsible for our sins, it's very easy for the women to blame their sins on the patriarchy. It's like saying my parents made it do it, instead of saying the patriarchy made me do it. And I'm not saying that men don't behave badly, and I'm not saying that men aren't sinners, and I'm not saying that they're not full of failings, because we are, but women are too. But the women then fight back, and in Barbie's world, and Barbie's world is restored to perfection, with women ruling and men banished to the beach or wherever it is. But Barbie's asked, where do the men go at night? And she says, you know, I don't know where the men go at night. She has no idea. And then early in the movie, Ken wants a relationship with Barbie. He feels attracted to her, and she just rejects him and rebuffs him. Go away, Ken. Basically, not needed. Don't need a man in my life. Don't need romance. Don't have any sexual desires at all. And then later in the movie, he feels a deep romantic connection to Barbie, and he approaches her again quite compassionately, and she rejects him as well. Go away. In Barbie's world, women are fulfilled and don't need men for any reason whatsoever. This is a perfect radical feminist world, and all that is needed is a career. Men are a waste of time and not needed or wanted. Ken is, after all, just Ken. I'm just Ken, the song went. So note what's missing in the movie. There are no families or family life except a single parent family in the real world. But there are no families. There are no children in the Barbie world. There's no emphasis on family. There's no there's no marriage in Barbie's world. There's no need for men. And these things are not just missing. They're far away over the horizon. There is in the movie an appearance of a pregnant Barbie, but she is ridiculed. The pregnant Barbie is ridiculed. She should have been banished years ago. The Barbies are happy without men and just getting on with their careers and just getting on with life without that's enough for them. These women are fulfilled. Every day is perfect. Yesterday was perfect. Today is perfect. And tomorrow will be perfect. Now, why mention divorce in this? Why mention divorce? Well, because this career emphasis is not just seen in the Barbie movie, but it's being poured out through every channel to our daughters. I don't have daughters, and our wives as well, to women everywhere. This message is being poured out by every avenue. And they can't get away from it in the same way that men can't get away from pro-feminizing, pro-homosexual propaganda, which is everywhere. Women cannot get away from this radical feminist message that career is the most important thing, so that they might feel that if they haven't had a career for whatever reason, that lack of a career is what's making them miserable or unhappy. And they feel separated from what's important, this whole emphasis on career, which is a lie. So there is this emphasis on career, which is really the main emphasis I saw in Barbie, that a woman is fulfilled by her career and needs nothing else, and she will be deliriously happy forever, is a lie. And this woman might be hearing this message within a marriage, and she hears it for years and years and years, especially if she's, for example, as in the case of my wife, taking time off work, taking time off a career to homeschool, for example, that she has this message that you're worthless. What you're doing is of no value to the world. You need a career. And I wonder if this has got something to do with some divorces. For example, the children grow up and then there's an empty nest. And in that empty nest, she feels that she no longer needs her husband. What she needs now is a career to make up for lost time. She might see him as, she might blame him for the lack of her career. It was all my husband's doing. I would have had a good career if it wasn't for him, if I hadn't married him. She might think of him now as keeping her back from her career. She might say, he kept me at home, he held me back, he did nothing to encourage me. Now, that may or may not be true. But the thing is this, that this message, that the career is what makes a woman, this is what makes a woman happy, this affects Christian women as well. Now, let me say, I believe that this also played a role in my own divorce. that this feminist message was coming through constantly. And although we homeschooled at the end of it, I think this did play a role in my divorce, this idea that that career was more important than marriage or family or anything else. As I said, my ex-wife can't be here to speak for herself, but it seems to me that that was the case. So this is a serious message. And also this message, it raises a generation of girls who aren't fit to be married. What they look for in a man is impossible. What they demand from a man and demand from themselves is that they have their own needs satisfied, that the job of somebody else is to do what I need you to do. And of course, if you don't, I can get rid of you. The same is just as true for men who are looking for things in women which are unrealistic and not possible. One of the things that has particularly grieved me as I've worked with young people on the streets over quite a few years now is quite simply this, that so many of them seem incapable of holding down relationships. Now, that was largely perhaps as a result of sexual promiscuity. But there is this mismatch. When we start viewing ourselves as somebody other than the person that God has made us, we see ourselves as a woman who needs to be empowered, who's impressed by the patriarchy, therefore we have a grievance, and that we would be having a fantastic time if only we had a career. Not only are we becoming putty in someone else's hands and we're being used by those authorities, powers, or whatever they are, but also we become incapable of understanding relationships. So I'm not holding the Barbie movie or radical feminism guiltless when it comes to the breakdown of relationships, the breakdown of marriages, the breakdown of relationships between men and women generally. Now, we need to get back to the fact that we were made by God and we were made in his image and we were made male and female and that each of us are made differently from one another and that we each have a different role, that men and women have different roles. That when we submit to God and when we give ourselves to him and when we submit ourselves to the word of God, we will find ourselves in roles which are different, but at the same time, which absolutely fulfill the way God has made us. God has made man the head of the woman. God has called a man, woman to submit to the husband. But at the same time, the man is to be a servant of the wife, to give himself to her happiness, to give himself to her edification and encouragement and strengthening. One of the problems with the fall is this, that men don't want to do what God's called them to do, and women want to do what God hasn't called them to do. And I think we all know this in our hearts. A fallen nature and a sinful nature. That's why we blame the patriarchy. Now, in the Barbie movie, we saw lots of useless men. And there are lots of useless men. But we also see entitled women who believe that as long as they can get rid of the men and have a career, that's all that matters in life. They're being used. They're being lied to. They're being deceived. And let's be very clear that if we say that women are not called to preach in the church, we're not being a patriarchy. If we say that the man is the head of his wife, we're not being a patriarchy. We are obeying God. And therefore, we are, in a sense, being a theocracy. God is reigning in our hearts and in our lives. But are we willing to submit? Are we willing to serve? That's the question that we need to ask. Well, I can't say more about the Barbie movie because time is limited. But let me now go on to discussing this passage in Proverbs 31. And I haven't done lots of cross-referencing, but simply to say this. And at this point, let me just say, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Savior from sin. We delight in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we very much want the Lord Jesus to be our Lord and our God. Well, he is. If we've believed on the Lord Jesus, he is our Savior and our Lord. I'm just checking because I can't see any live comments at all, so I don't know who's here. So some of you might be wondering what happened to the live comments. I also am wondering this. I really can't see where they've gone. And that's very strange. Because normally they're there. There must have been something on the editing. So I'm not going to be able to see the live comments. And I'm not going to therefore be able to respond to your questions. And I apologize for that. That means once I finish this talk, it will be the end of the broadcast. We're so focused on what we're saying, I didn't notice there weren't any comments. And I can imagine some of the people are there. Marcus, if you're there, greetings to you and others. Warmest greetings to you, Ian, if you're there, and others as well, and a list too numerous to mention. And every one of you in the Lord, a brother or sister in Christ, valued. And those who don't know the Lord, please come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But now let's just look at Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 onwards. And there's three things here. This is the virtuous woman. God says this is the virtuous woman. So the first, there are three things to look at here briefly. And again, as with the movie, there's so much more than we could find the time for. First of all, her marriage. Secondly, her home. And thirdly, or home and family. And thirdly, her career, because this woman in Proverbs certainly has a career. And we can look at that. So if we're going to talk about women and careers, this is a great context to talk about it. Now, I know that there are some of us who are not married, never been married. And that is before the Lord, perfectly, perfectly good. But I just want to give an example here of how a woman may serve the Lord within marriage. So let's first of all look at her marriage, this virtuous woman. Now, again, the disclaimer, we're all sinners. This is what this sounds like, the perfect marriage. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So if we are convicted by this, or if we feel grieved, then that's true of all of us. None of us have lived up to this. None of us have done all of this as we should. But nevertheless, this virtuous woman. So first of all, in verse 11, her husband trusts in her. This man can trust in his wife. She doesn't stab him in the back. She doesn't abandon him. She doesn't side with others against him. She might tell him if she believes he's wrong. She might tell him very strongly if she believes he's wrong, but she does not undermine him or stab him in the back and so on, backbite and so on. Her husband trusts in her. What a virtuous woman if her husband can trust in her. Verse 12, she does him good all the days of her life. This has to be a matter of personal choice. She delights to do this man good. He, of course, delights to serve her. His aim, his desire is to provide for her and to make her happy. He wants to do that. But she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. What a virtuous woman she is. There's nothing for that in Barbie, is there? She, first of all, doesn't have a husband. There's no interest in doing men good at all. They just want to push them away and get rid of them or have them around as some kind of fancy ornament. She does him good all the days of her life. Verse 23, her husband's reputation is greatly enhanced as a result of her virtue. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He's respected among the other men. His leadership role is enhanced. He is respected because his wife is a virtuous woman. They can see that. And her virtue and the way that she behaves adds to his status, adds to his authority in the community. Now, that's really important, isn't it? She's having an impact on society. She's enhancing her husband's role and his respectability because of her behavior and her virtue. And that's really good for society, isn't it? It's really good for leadership. It's really important. Now, let's look at her family. In verse 15, she's diligent. Well, she provides for her family. She does a lot to provide for her family. And so verse 15, she says, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's providing for her family. Her husband is no doubt working very hard also to provide for the family. But she is self-sacrificing. In Barbie, it's all about me, me, me. Fulfilling my desires, fulfilling what I want, getting what I think I need. And it's all about me. I'm still looking for a button I can press or something which will give me the live chat. I'll do that at the end, but it just doesn't seem to be there. I'll need to get that back. It's all about me. But she is self-sacrificing for others in the family. She doesn't say, I don't want a family or children. She doesn't find that distasteful. She doesn't push her husband away saying, I don't need a man, but rather she is self-sacrificing. She is diligent, not lazy when it comes to her family. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Again, not just serving herself, but she is diligent regarding the family. That's how her family become not only clothed in clothes, but they become clothed in fine clothes, as we can read. And that's verse 22, for example. In fact, verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, this virtuous woman. And verse 28, her family call her blessed. Verse 28, Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What a remarkable woman, this woman who does good to her husband, this woman whose husband trusts her, this woman whose husband's reputation is enhanced in the gate, this woman who looks after her children and her servants, this woman who's diligent and not lazy, and her family rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. She does him good, and he does her good. He recognizes the quality and the beauty of this woman and her value. All of that without saying anything about her career. But here in Proverbs 31, this woman does have a career. Now, this isn't a criticism of mothers who stay at home and look after the children. It's not a criticism of individuals. What I'm trying to do is criticizing the idea of a career as that which fulfills a woman, and irrespective of family, where she gets rid of men, where she doesn't want children, as long as she's got a career, that's fine. And again, most people end up in miserable careers. They're sold a lie and they end up miserable. And it's too late by the time they realize that they've been duped and lied to. But let's look at this woman's career, because she's diligent in business. It shows that a Christian woman can have a career and be married and have children. So her career, first of all, verse 13, she works willingly. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. So she's in the textile industry, and she's working willingly, enjoying her work, no doubt, although it's hard and it can be tedious and repetitive. So she's a textile worker. Then in verse 16, she's a farmer. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. So she's very diligent. She's now got a farming business on the side, as well as looking after the household and supporting her husband. Then in verse 24, she is also a merchant. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So she's a textile worker. She's a farmer and she's a merchant, all in one, and she's a mother and a wife. This is the picture of the virtuous woman. She didn't abandon her husband in order to pursue her career. She didn't forsake her children. One of the things that I find very, very grievous is that children are forsaken in these days. They're left to their own devices. They're left to what they can find on their iPads, what they can see on the internet. And again, I believe, a very direct contributor to the fact that people can no longer relate to each other, and they have the attention span of a goldfish in so many cases, or so it seems. But notice also here, this woman that has a husband and children and servants and a career, this virtuous woman, in verse 20, she's charitable. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So she's got time for charity as well. And extraordinary, this virtuous woman, that maybe she helps with the church. Maybe they help the homeless in some way, or they do door-to-door work. Maybe she's involved in evangelistic work. Maybe she's involved in some other. Maybe she's a treasurer or a secretary of some Christian organization, or she leads a women's group in the church. But she has time to do Christian work as well. Now, again, this is the perfect woman, and I'm not a woman. You knew that. But if there's anybody here who's feeling, well, I'm not like this, well, let me show you these passages about men as well in Scripture, that none of us measure up. We're all sinners. It was only the Lord Jesus who never sinned and perfectly served his Father in heaven. But even so, what I want to do is set this up against the Barbie movie, where self comes first, where I come first, where it's me, 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 where there's no room for family, no time for family, and where career is everything. I want to set this up. This is the woman who is fulfilled. And of course, above all, she and her husband are serving God. They're submitted to the word of God. They're submitted to the will of God. They desire the honor of God. They live for God. Now, this is a happy household where the man is exalted in the gate. He's known in the gates, and because of his wife's virtue, and she does him good, and so on. And he rises up and he praises her, and her husband praises her, and the children rise up and call her blessed. But most of all, it's because they love the Lord. Now, she is the virtuous woman. Notice that what she does isn't self-centered, not at all. She's clothing her servants. She's clothing her children. She is improving the financial situation of the family. She is improving the reputation of her husband. She is sacrificing her time. She's sacrificing her sleep in order to do good. She's not saying, my career, my station in life, my happiness. She's saying, how can I serve others? She's saying that if I do this, I'm serving God. That's my great happiness. And family and children are definitely involved in this for this woman. Again, a woman can serve the Lord without family or children and serve him faithfully and fully and do so selflessly. But what the Barbie movie is saying that is that family gets in the way of career. There's no need for family. We don't want that anymore. We don't need men. Men are a nuisance. Men are stupid. Men are foolish. Men are a waste of time. So she's not. She's the virtue woman, a virtuous woman. So she is. Well, what will we say about this virtuous woman? Verse 10, her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Today, our young women are being told it's all about you, being told you must look for a man who makes you happy, and his duty is to give you what you want so that you can pursue your career. Again, me. But a virtuous woman, who can find? Her price is far above rubies. And then in verse 25, she has strength and honor. Strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor. What a woman. Strength and honor. An honorable woman, a strong woman, are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's a rejoicing woman, and in the future is laid up for her great rejoicing because of her diligence and her service and her virtue. And then in verse 26, she speaks. She's not just somebody who sits quietly in the corner. This woman speaks. She has a voice. And when she speaks, in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. So we read verse 26, openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. People want to talk to her. They delight in talking to her. When she speaks, she gives wise advice, and she speaks the truth. And when they listen to her, they delight in that. And she's full of kindness when she speaks to others, this virtuous woman. So she is worth far above rubies. She has strength and honor, and she rejoices, and she speaks with wisdom, and there's kindness in her voice. And then verse 29, we read her children, verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And that sounds to me like Solomon, who wrote the Song of Solomon, speaking about Christ and his church. That is how Christ views his church. Although the church is imperfect now, Christ sees her as perfect because he purchased her with his own blood. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So we're moving into Song of Solomon territory there. But finally, in verses 30 and 31, it is not natural beauty. That doesn't come into this at all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. That's really important, the woman that fears the Lord. Now, we meet lots of Christian women these days who think or say, or we hear of them anyway, that feminism is right, that women should be in the church doing whatever they want, whatever men can do, that this is right and that God will accept it. But the woman that feareth the Lord is saying, what does God want me to do? And the same is true of the man that fears the Lord. This is really important. There is no place for feminism. Feminism is poison in the church. There is room for virtue. There is room for value. There is room for love and family and for setting a virtuous woman with very high value and respect in the churches. But there's no room for feminism that says, let's put aside what God has said. Let's do what we want to do. Let's reject the patriarchy. Let's go our own way, quenching the Holy Spirit and thereby not serving God as we should. Now, Reverend Hal Jones was the principal of the London Theological Seminary when I was a student there, and I would have put him down as a giant of a Christian. His insights and his teaching were remarkable. It was an absolute delight and privilege to sit under that man's lectures. But and I think he's still alive and living in South Wales, as far as I'm aware, he is, but he's in his 90s now. But on one occasion, he said, look, when you go to Genesis and you read the words, speaking of the woman that her desire shall be for her husband, what the Hebrew is saying there is that her desire is to reverse nature. She wants to rule over her husband. She wants to take what God has given to him, that headship, and she wants it to be hers. And this is one of the things, one of the problems we have, that the fall into sin, and we're all sinners, men and women, we're all sinners, has reversed it so that men don't want to lead. They don't want to be the head. They don't want to fulfill their responsibilities or be accountable to God, and they become effeminate. And women want to take what God has given to the man. And the thing here is this, that that this is the world we live in, and we have a generation of children now where boys are being taught to behave like girls and girls are being taught to behave like boys, and it's a catastrophic situation. There was an article in the newspapers this week that said now 30% of young people coming out of school identify as LGBTQI+. That's absolutely staggering. That just shows it's not genetic. That just shows you're not born gay. It's a matter of publicity and advertising and promotion. The thing about it is this, that in the Bible we have this reversal of sin reverses our roles, but the Lord Jesus restores us. And there's not a place you can be or I can be where the Lord Jesus won't take us and restore us. It may be the work of years, but he can take somebody from the worst background and fit them for a relationship. Most importantly of all, he fits us for a relationship with himself and with his Father in heaven. He adopts us into his own family. And little by little, day by day, he makes us more like himself, and he gives us grace to grow in grace. Now, in this world, Paul, speaking about marriage, said that we would have much trouble. Each of us, if we're married, are a sinner, married to a sinner, and there'll be much trouble. There will be much difficulty. But surely, giving you this picture, this is the opposite. This is the Bible's answer to Barbie. This is the virtuous woman. This is the woman who is selfless and who doesn't go about saying every day is perfect and tomorrow will be perfect and we just spend our time partying and that's the end of it, or doing our professional jobs and that's all we need. You become somebody else's slave when you do that. But I think I've made my point. I think I've made my point about the virtuous woman, that the blessing in this world comes from obedience to God. Favor, at verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Let me say this, Barbie does not fear the Lord. Barbie, as portrayed in the movie, is godless. She is without God, without hope in the world, and there's no mention of God, and there's no concern for the things of God. Therefore, she's not an example to follow. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So there's that final blessing from the Lord to her, that she will see the fruit of her work. That might be in terms of children who go on to serve the Lord, in terms of a husband who is respected. And if he's a minister, for example, then his ministry is greatly enhanced. If he's an evangelist, then as a result of her input, his evangelism is more effective and his preaching is more powerful and his work is more respected. It's extraordinary what a godly woman can do to help the cause of Christ, because, of course, we're all to help the cause of Christ. How essential that is, how necessary that is. But I'm sure that everybody has an opinion on this, has something to say about this. I hope I've represented the scriptures accurately. But once again, the teaching and the philosophy that is openly avowed in the Barbie movie is sheer poison. And girls are going to watch that, and boys are going to watch that. And I find that absolutely distressing, to be fair. It will destroy people's lives. It doesn't empower anybody, it destroys people's lives. Oh, how lovely it is when we follow the Lord and we obey his commands and we do what he says and we like what his teaching is. Oh, how lovely that is. Father, we ask and pray that your word would be written on our hearts. And Father, we confess our sins. If we were, those of us who are married, those of us if we were in a marriage, who aren't married, Lord, we would bring into that marriage a sinful person. We confess, Lord, that we're not always selfless. We confess that we're not always looking out for the other. We confess that, and this is not just true in marriage, but in all our relationships, that we're not always, above all, seeking to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, take these marred vessels and remake us in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with your Spirit and use us for your glory. We pray, Father, that this teaching would be preached from the pulpits. We pray that a generation of young men and young women would be rescued from this disaster, from this car crash disaster, terrible idea that men are useless and that women just need a career and that's all they need in life. We ask and pray, Father, for a restoration of the biblical roles of men and women. And we ask and pray, Lord, that people would see the beauty and the value and the God-ordained nature of families, of husbands and wives and children. And Father, we ask and pray also, above all, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be set forth in these days. I pray for the open air, God willing, tomorrow in different towns here in the West Midlands and England. But Father, we ask and pray that the name of Jesus Christ would be lifted up, that the gospel would be preached and that the word of God would be set forth with power. We pray that people whose lives have been broken by sin, relationships broken by sin, will come into a new and saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this we ask and pray in his precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm really sorry that we didn't have live comments because I really wanted to hear people's comments on this. Please put comments in the comments section underneath because feedback is going to be really helpful on this one. I'm pressing buttons here, but I'm not sure what I can actually do. If I can somehow get the comments up now, we could have a chat and a discussion, but I don't know if I can. Right, okay, I'm switching comments on. The comments is locked, so I can't change that. So that means we're not going to have comments now. So my sincere apologies. I did not know the settings had changed, and that reminds me I must check them every time now. But I do thank you for listening to this live broadcast and pray that God would use it for his glory. Clearly, if people disagree with what I've said or they think I've said something wrong or over the top or inappropriate or insensitive or unkind, I very much want to hear your criticisms as well. But by the grace of God, my prayer is that this teaching would be used for his glory and the furtherance of his kingdom. God be with us all. And thank you for joining us in Jesus' name. Amen.